Morning, everybody. Okay, just give my computer a second to wake up. I feel like Russ has already preached half of my message this morning, so this is just like what we say, recall. So remember and remember and remember. So obviously there's something here that the Holy Spirit wants us to remember. Okay, so we as a family have been reading through the One Life Church app, where you read through the Bible in 20 months. So you basically do a chapter of the Old Testament and a chapter of the New Testament, and then you read through it in 20 months. And we had started with Genesis, obviously right at the beginning. And when we started reading, you know, we read about creation, and it got me thinking a little bit about how we as Christians talk and think about creation. And then I started thinking about the immense power that was involved in this process and what was the origin of that power. So when we talk about creation, we know we speak about God that created the universe, but we often forget that the Trinity was all there at the time of creation. Verse 1 says, "The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters." And then verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So I particularly felt convicted that we sometimes forget about the role of the Holy Spirit in creation. And what does that mean for our own lives? So the concept of the creativity and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that same creative power of the Spirit that was involved in creation is given to us for the same purpose, and that is to glorify God. So I thought, just to show how powerful creation is, I'm going to give you guys some weird, random facts about creatures and nature. Because often we just think, oh, he created the moon and the stars and the water and the earth, but let's look at some details. So there is a frog called the heart-stopping wood frog. So during the winter, this frog's heart completely stops. It stops breathing. And it does this because its body produces its own natural antifreeze chemicals that go to certain parts of its vital organs. Summer comes along and it literally defrosts and starts hopping. Amazing. Adult blood vessels is more than 60,000 miles long. So that's about 90,000 kilometers. The mantis shrimp, it's a striking crustacean with a very complex eye system. They punch so fast that where they strike boils the water around them and stuns their prey. A sneeze can travel at 20 miles per hour. I don't know whose job it is to figure that out, but it was pretty interesting. Our body replaces taste buds every 10 days. Octopuses or octopi, I don't know, whatever the multiple is, have three hearts and they pump bright blue blood. Venus rotates backwards, so it's the only one that goes clockwise, so it spins slower. So a day on Venus is like a year on Earth. And then lastly, snow in certain alpine regions can be pink due to pigments produced by algae, and this is known as watermelon snow. And that's just 8 facts of creation, of the amazingness, the creativeness of the Creator. So if we look at creation, the Spirit of God created from chaos, it created order. It says the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. When we think of the Holy Spirit, we can often think of him as immaterial. You know, spirit, that word often in our minds is like a ghost figure, right? We can understand God and Jesus. We can get a picture of them. We can understand that they are relatable. But the Spirit sometimes is not for us, right? He's often thought of as the third in the Trinity, which is incorrect. They all are three different beings with three different roles that carry equal weight. I think if we look, most people will try very hard not to dishonor God or Jesus, but the Holy Spirit can sometimes be so abused and so dishonored. So if we look at creation, we see our first description of the Holy Spirit here. The word spirit in Hebrew here means ruach, which basically means breath or air in motion. So it doesn't show something stagnant. It doesn't show something that doesn't have power. It shows energy, movement, and power. So the Holy Spirit is the power of God at the highest level. He's the power of life that sustains everything. He creates. He reveals the mysteries of God. He has the power to resurrect. He is powerful. The same word that was used for the Spirit in Genesis was the same word when the angel appeared to Mary. It says the Spirit was brooding. It then filled her and created the Son of God in her womb. Creativity, power. So the Holy Spirit was not just present during creation, he was actively involved. We know that God spoke and there was light. God spoke and the seas were formed. He spoke and the sun and the moon were created. God spoke and everything was created. From the beginning, the intention of creation was for us to be in relationship with God, to have his attributes, and to have dominion over the earth. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Remember that word for spirit was ruach. It was breath. "And man became a living being." Verse 28, "And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds in the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Subdue means productive ordering of the earth and its inhabitants, to live in symbiosis with God, to represent him on earth. So God created, and then we are called to steward that creativity. It's divine care and cultivation of things God gave us. So initially, the word work was not painful. It only was when sin entered the world that it became painful and full of turmoil. So doesn't this picture of creation, of living in connection with God, of the Holy Spirit being involved in creating and having power, doesn't this sound amazing? Adam and Eve were close to God. Everything worked as it should. The vegetation grew. The day and the night just happened. Animals lived in harmony. The temperature was mild. It says God blessed them. So obviously it was good. So creation was a collaboration between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God was the agent through which creation was spoken into existence. The Spirit of God brought it to animation. Sinclair Ferguson says this so beautifully. He says, "The first action of the Holy Spirit in Scripture was that of extending God's presence into creation in such a way as to order and complete what has been planned in the mind of God." So we know the story goes on. Sin enters the world. We separated from God. Pain enters, strife, turmoil, all the good things. You have to work. Death enters. Adam and Eve's relationship becomes strained. There's animosity. But we know that that is not how it ends. We know Jesus came to save, bring us back to God, not only on earth but in eternity. But he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can live in creativity and power while we are here on earth. So the Holy Spirit is so deeply involved in sustaining and recreation of the kingdom of God. John 3 verse 5 to 8 says, "Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again." So we see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened in different ways and for different purposes. So in the Old Testament, it was just a select few that had the outpouring, and it was temporary. We see a lot of times the Spirit of God comes and then it leaves. Think about people like Samson. When his hair was cut, you know, the Spirit of God left. Moses, Gideon, those are just a few. So it was an individual few that were given the Spirit and the outpouring of the Spirit. We see another time in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit came and was poured out onto people for a creative work was when the tabernacle was being established. He said about the artisans involved in Exodus 28, verse 2 to 3. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with my Spirit. In Hebrew, again, the Spirit means ruach, and of skill, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood. So note the artisans already had skills. The Hebrew word for skill means wisdom. So they were filled with the Spirit to use their creativity wisely for God's purposes. Exodus 31, 1 verse 4. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs to work in gold, silver, and bronze. The divine person who characteristically brings beauty and order to God's creation, that Spirit enables us to do the same thing here on earth. So the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of the first Adam and the second Adam. We see that the angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. He brought God's plan into order and completion. Every work of the Holy Spirit is not done independently of God's purposes. Every work of the Holy Spirit serves God's eternal plan for his people. So we see that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in creation was in creation, the establishment of the tabernacle, the first, second Adam. But what does that Holy Spirit have to do with us today? So John 14, verse 25 to 26 says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So this was a gift from God. We see that on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Ruach, right? And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them, rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What happened? It wasn't stagnant. The Holy Spirit came and stuff happened. Creativity came out. Power was revealed. So the Spirit came on them and gave them gifts. Why? To declare the greatness of God with boldness. So we're encouraged in the Word to constantly be filled with the Spirit. So we're filled of the Spirit, we know, at salvation because we are reconciled back into the body of Christ. But being filled with the Spirit continually is encouragement to live continually under the influence of the Spirit, to live in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting His mind, through the Word, dominate our lives. Now, Russ already mentioned Galatians 5, verse 6 today. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are under no law, which means we can lead righteous lives. So I'm sure you guys have heard of sanctification. We are called to be more Christ-like, and this can only happen through the Holy Spirit. How do we know we are living Spirit-filled lives? Galatians 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience, kindness. So we are called to live with the Spirit. The richness of the nature of the Holy Spirit is so much more than just the peace giver, the comforter. You know, that is the first thing we think about when we think of the Holy Spirit. But what does the Word say about the Spirit? He's called the Spirit of the living God. He's called the Spirit of life. Hebrews 10 says the Spirit of grace. Isaiah 11 verse 2, the Spirit of wisdom. John 14 calls him the Spirit of truth. We heard this morning in the prayer meeting, the Spirit of prayer. Romans 1, the Spirit of holiness. Job 33 verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Hebrews 9:14, he's the eternal Spirit. Psalm 51:2, he's the Spirit of joy. Psalm 143:10, he is the good Spirit. And Psalm 51:10, he is the right Spirit. So Christ-filled, Spirit-filled life means fruits of the Spirit. But what also does it mean to be Spirit-filled? It means that the Spirit gives us gifts. And these gifts are for the divine enablement of the ministry for the gospel of Christ. And it can be given to any believer. The Spirit chooses. They're not our own natural abilities. While the Holy Spirit gives us and God creates us and gives us natural abilities, these spiritual gifts are to edify each other and the church and to bring glory to God. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start at verse 1. And this is just about spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one there is through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. And this is not salvation faith. This is a continued trust, reliance on God. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So we see that living Spirit-filled lives is not just being a kind person, being a good person. It is living with power of the Holy Spirit. So let's not be complacent, you know, let's be filled with the Spirit and let's accept these gifts of the Spirit. So Jesus, we see Jesus needed the Holy Spirit from the womb to the tomb to the throne, as John MacArthur says. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how can we live without him? Jesus' whole earthly life was led by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In the womb, we see the Holy Spirit created him, and as he grew as a child, he found favor with God. During temptation in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit was his guide. Even in death, he needed the help of the Holy Spirit. Think about Gethsemane. He needed the help of the Holy Spirit to go through that whole process, even through death and resurrection. So only under the full control of the Holy Spirit can we act like Christ. The Holy Spirit is there to restrain our flesh, yes, but he's there to give us so much more. And I know that sometimes, you know, the movement of the Holy Spirit can look really strange. The intention of the Holy Spirit is not to knock people over and make them act strange. The intention is to fill us to the glory of God. His only interest is making us like Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, yes. He corrects our behavior. He allows adoption into the family of God. But he gives us these spiritual gifts that helps us, that brings us closer to God, that encourages each other. The Holy Spirit allows us to be filled with creativity for the glory of God. So I don't know about you guys, but I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. I want more. Not for my purposes, but for his. And I know at times I've been hesitant to let the Holy Spirit have free reign, so to say. But it's a good thing, people. He is a good God. He's a good, powerful Holy Spirit. So my encouragement for you today is just look at the greatness. Don't look at handing over control as a bad thing. we want to be filled because there's so much in God's kingdom through the Holy Spirit.
Amazing, concise, but truth captured in a very short period of time. You know, this is why the Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear. Because when we actually hear a word like this and you hear the revelation of who the Holy Spirit is, Satan wants you to come in fear, because if we really don't come in fear and we come in faith, who knows what God can do? Because this is the truth of who the Spirit is. He's not there to be feared, church. He's working our lives. He's dealing with our lives. He's not there to shame. He's not there to embarrass. He's not there to do things that would cause us to feel manipulated or to feel under condemnation. He's there to bring us into freedom. And Satan hates the church being free, because it's when we get that the Son sets us free and we're free indeed that people start to see Jesus. And that's the truth of who the Holy Spirit is. You couldn't have heard it clearer from Manya than what she brought this morning. Can I ask us to stand for a moment? And I'm going to ask Manya to pray for us. And, you know, I think sometimes we also feel like there's, when I was younger, went to amazing conferences. There was this conference in Johannesburg called Catch the Fire Conference. And it was literally that. It was all about spending time waiting on the Holy Spirit. But in one sense, the one thing that they lacked in a certain extent in letting us know was we don't have to beg. We don't have to wait forever. We don't have to go through hoops. We don't have to do any of that. He is ready and waiting and willing to come upon us. We've just got to give him free access. And so I want to ask Manya to pray for us this morning, that right where we are this morning, church, it's a simple thing. It's like childlike faith. It's not fear, it's faith. It's childlike faith, just coming and saying, Lord, more of you. And I believe there's no better time than off the back of this message for us to again this morning just say, Lord, I need you more. I need you more. I need that creativity that was birthed, that you displayed at the birth of creation. I need that wisdom. I need that power. I need that breath, that ruach, to come upon me, to lead me, to guide me, to fill me, to overflow through me, because a world untouched will remain untouched unless it comes through the Spirit of God. Anyway, let's just as Manya prays for us, reach out to him this morning.
Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here today. We welcome you. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us. We need more of you. We need more of you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that you gave us, that we are not alone. Holy Spirit, come and touch each one today. Lord, you know where they need filling. You know where they need encouragement. Holy Spirit, come and wash over everybody, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for just your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. Come and fill us anew today. Jesus, Jesus, you are welcome here. Thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit.